Yeah, just a few minutes. I won't keep you long today, but take your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter number 8. The book of Luke, chapter number 8. And I have a simple thought. I want to look at this account when Jesus raised Jairus' daughter. I want to look at this account, this miracle, and I want to bring a spiritual, I guess, illustration with this thought today, and I hope God will help us and give us that which we need in this hour. Let's begin reading in verse number 41, and I'm preaching today on raising up a child. Raising up a child. Verse 41 of Luke 8. The Bible says, "And behold, there came a man named Jairus," or Jairus, ever how you want to pronounce it, "and he was a ruler of the synagogue." He wasn't Christ's enemy. He didn't agree with the Pharisees. I believe he was a good man. He knew who to get to. He was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. Now we have an interruption with the woman that had the issue. We're not preaching that, so I want to jump to verse number 49. The Bible says, "While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house," from Jairus' house, "saying to him, Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." Boy, there's a great lesson there. It ain't over till Jesus says it's over. Amen. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. There's a good message there. We won't try to quit stopping. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Let's pray quickly. Father, we love you, and we're thankful for your presence already in the service. Thank you for your manifested presence. Thank you, Lord, for those that have done business around the altar. I'm glad there's help in the altar. And I thank you, Lord, for Brother Adam, Lord, for him being faithful to be here today and bless our hearts. And Lord, you used him greatly already. And Father, I pray now for this message, Lord, you'd have mercy on us. Father, if you don't illuminate my mind, there'll be no help to get here today. I need you, Father. And I pray, Lord, you touch every life that's here. I don't know everybody's here that's saved, but Lord, you know whether they are or not, but a crowd this size, I'm sure somebody here today needs the Lord, needs to be born again. And I ask you, Father, Lord, to convict their heart and save them before it's eternally too late. Encourage us, help us, strengthen us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, there's a lot of preaching, actually, in Luke chapter number 8, because Christ is very busy. Now in verse 1, the Bible said it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. Now he went about, he not only preached, but he showed. Jews required a sign, and he's proving that he is God incarnate. And he goes about and he's preaching the gospel, and he's giving them truth. He's calming storms, he's casting out devils, he's healing sick. But I'm trying not to get bogged in this. If I backed up to verse 19, 20, and 21, I got into that a while ago of a statement that the Lord made. Notice what it says. It says, "Then came to him his mother Mary and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. In other words, they couldn't get to Christ. He was surrounded by people. He's preaching the gospel. He's preaching the word. He's showing them, and people are just multitudes around, and people getting right with God all over the place. And it was told him, verse 20, by certain which said, thy mother and thy brethren stand without desiring to see thee. Now look at Christ's response. Now there is a great principle here. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. The response, hey, Lord, your mother and your brothers are here. Now, I don't know how long it's been since you've seen them, but they want to see you. They want to have fellowship with you. They want you to stop doing what you're doing a little while and go to them and be with them. And I'm not saying that's wrong. But the Lord made a principle. He said, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. I understand he's speaking of those that are getting born again. He had spiritual brethren. People getting right with God. But he's also showing us that nothing comes before the Lord. Nothing comes before his work. I understand. Thank God for my wife and my children. And I'm glad they serve God along with me. I thank God that God has shown me mercy. No bragging in me. My family serving God and trying to be faithful to God because the Lord has done something in their heart. But however, Christ let us see clearly, we put things aside and we make this statement. And I understand the statement. I don't know why the Lord's had me do this, say this today, because it's not my message. But the saying goes, family first. Now I'll say this, my family should come before you, but never before the Lord. Never before the Lord. And we are in a day where our family's side things are more important than the Lord's work. My little boy's ball games is more important than the Lord's work. It's more important than being at church. And not so to be. And I really don't know why. I don't know why. I'm just trying to follow the Spirit of God. I have no beef with anybody. I have no quarrel with anybody. I'm mad at you. I don't know. As far as I know, I don't know of anybody here doing it. But something's going on. Amen. You'll never help your children by making church an option. You'll never help your children by making the Lord's work, well, if nothing better's going on. That'll never help your children. They'll never have the honor, the respect, the desire, the reverence they should have for the Lord and what he's doing. So, that's off of me. In our text, in our scripture, just plainly put, is about a dad who loved his daughter very much. He found himself in a situation where his daughter was dying. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to do for her, and he didn't know how to raise up his daughter. However, this dad knew that when he didn't know how to raise up his daughter, he could go to the Lord to help him. Now, again, we see a physical event. We see a physical event where a girl that's 12 years old got sick. She got very sick. He was a ruler of the synagogue. He no doubt had access to doctors and the medicine of that day, but nothing was helping this girl. Nothing. And she's laying there dying, and he is in a place of desperation. Folks, can I say something to you today? When it comes to our children, it should always be in our heart a place of desperation, keeping them to Christ, keeping them where Jesus is, getting Jesus to them, that the devil ain't taking a day off. The world ain't taking a day off. There's new stuff on the internet every day. There's something different every day to draw them away from the things you've taught them about God. So it always should be in our heart desperation that we keep them close to Jesus, that we make sure Christ is around them and in their life. So I want to notice quickly. We'll notice three things. How to raise up, not physically, but spiritually, naturally, how to raise up a child. Oh, one thing, Brother Adam, we're blessed with, and to God be the glory, we have young families. When we started the church in 97, I was one of those young families that had small children. Now I'm a papa. I'm a papa to one and a gugga to the other. I don't care what they call me, as long as they call me. And we were the ones that were in the process of having children and then having toddlers and then having, you know, they got bigger and older. And honestly, I will report to you young families, you think it's hard now because all they do is cry? Wait, all they do is complain. They make you cry. Just kidding. Me and my boys look like, I don't know what we looked like last night. I was in my office, I have a little detached office, and I was in my office last night, and my old German Shepherd started barking. Barking like crazy, driving me crazy. And I thought for a minute there that Thomas's dog and my dog were talking. They was just bark, bark, bark. And I grabbed a flashlight and went out there and I said, Willa, what's your problem? Shined the light in his face and she was turned toward Taylor's house just to barking. I shined the light down there and I seen their trash can turned over and trash. Oh, I know what's happening now. There's a bear out there. And so I text Taylor and I hollered at Thomas, and here they come with guns blazing. And I shined the light down the woods, and my eyes glared at me. What'd you do? I took off running. I didn't say anything. All I needed to do was outrun Thomas or Taylor. I was all right. We had enough firepower to kill a family of bears, but we ain't shooting nothing. We running. And then I had the privilege, after it was all said and done, to go down the woods and drag trash out of the woods because I'm still daddy. And if that bear was still around, it was going to get me. But my they're men now. And of course, Faith, she's a young lady, and I'm thankful. But even I think about you young families. You got these, and I love to watch them. See, isn't it funny? As a pastor, my kids, I always stayed on top of them. Man, everything they done at church, man, I stayed on top of it. But your kids don't bother me. I got that pawpaw mentality now. Amen. The worst feeling in the world in my heart right now is to watch one of my grandkids get a spanking. I want to go in full ninja mode when one of them gets a spanking. Just go to tearing up their daddy. Pow, pow. But I keep my mouth shut. And me and Kim have these precious memories, and they are precious. precious that we got to see, we got to raise them in the house of God and raise them up in church by the grace of God, and they heard the gospel. I couldn't save them. And to see where the Spirit of God began to deal with their heart and draw them unto repentance and see them get born again, get saved. And by the grace of God, and y'all, I'm going to say that a lot of times, by the grace of God, right now, and I know the devil's hearing this, and he's listening, and he's mad, and he'll attack. They're, right now, they're serving God, love the Lord. And I see that in not only mine, but many of them. Me and Kelvin have whipped Thomas and Luke so much growing up in this church. We don't even understand. We didn't figure they'd even go to church. And they're serving the Lord, using what God's given them. And many of you are. Then I see these young families. Mine, my son and his wife are two kids. And I see these babies all around. And I think about in the 90s when we were doing it, how the devil used everything to try to distract us and try to pull them away. And even now, as the days get closer, he's working harder and harder and harder. And families, I do pray for you. Because there is nothing wrong with playing ball. Don't build a shell around your children and act like they can't do nothing. There's nothing wrong with going hunting and fishing. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But if we're not careful, the devil will use a talent, or in many instances, and I say this in love, we try to relive what we didn't get to do through our children, and we get sidetracked with some type of fame that's in our mind. We want our kids to be popular and be in the glory in the world's eyes. And if we're not careful, we'll raise them up and we'll forget God. We'll forget the Lord. We'll count him out. And then when they get 16, 17, 18, and they get up in their 20s, and they want nothing to do with the Lord, we'll weep and we'll cry and we'll wonder why. Folks, I don't have a step 1, 2, 3, this is how you do it, but I do have a word in this text that the Lord shared with me that you already know. I'm just reminding you. There's nothing new under the sun. I'm not telling anybody here anything that you don't know. I have that much confidence that you know the Word of God that well. And it's simple. Hey, raising up a child, what does it take, preacher, to raise up a child? Well, look at verse 41. It takes prayer to raise up a child. In verse 41, and behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. Notice this man's approach. It was personal. Folks, he was a ruler. Are you listening? He was a ruler of the synagogue. In other words, he was a boss man. He was in charge. It would have been nothing for him to say, hey, come here. Come here, man. Come here. Now, Jesus is down here and he's preaching. And he's healing people. And he's preaching and people getting changed. I want you to go on my behalf and talk to the Lord about my daughter. But he didn't. He was so pressed in his heart that he took off. Folks, until we make our children, their spiritual lives, until we take it personal, Folks, notice it was personal. He didn't send someone. He went to the Lord, and now he is pleading. He's pleading. Lord, please, please, my 12-year-old daughter is dying. Yes. Folks, and can I say this, and I'm trying to make a spiritual application. Whatever her sickness was, disease, like leprosy, I'm not saying that's what she had, but it's like a picture of sin. You know what it could have been saying? The devil and sin is taking my daughter. It's dragging her under. Lord, please touch her. It's personal to him, and he's pleading. Folks, how long has it been since you've actually pled with the Lord over your children? That you have been seriously begging God to show them mercy and to touch their lives and to help them. There's nothing wrong with you asking the preacher to pray for your children. He does. There's nothing wrong with you asking another Christian to pray for your children. We pray for one another. But where is your burden? Where is your burden? Somebody said this, and again, I love sports. I love certain sports. I don't love every sport. Like golf, I mean, that's one sport that won't be in heaven. The Lord ain't going to mess up the grounds for that. I'm joking. I don't care how much you play. I just ain't no good at it. Yeah, that's right. But I don't remember the percentage of kids that play sports. And again, please don't leave here saying I'm knocking your kid playing sports. I am not. I think it teaches a lot of positive things. Amen. I played football. I learned a lot of positive things. I learned a lot of negative things, but I learned a lot of positive things. How to try to take it easy on little fellas like Jay Cagle. But anyway... The percentage of a child going pro or professional in any sport, the percentage was very minute. But the percentage of your child standing before the Lord is 100%. 100%. Think about that. Now, where should our efforts be? No, we don't care if you're part of the. We don't care if you go to Youth of Ocean. Hey, if you belong to this church, we have Youth of Ocean. Your child will be in there. Amen. They should be in there. The little ones learning verses, learning the good songs, and the teenagers, man, getting something from Brother Jonathan does a wonderful job to teach them the Word of God. What if they tell you, "Well, I don't like. I don't get nothing out of math. That teacher's boring." What you going to do? You going to say, just don't go, honey. Baby, don't go to math. No, you're not going to do that. But I'm telling you, the things of God's more important than math. The things of God's more important than math. Folks, we ought to be pleading. It takes prayer to raise up a child. It'll be pleading. You know what? He went public. He didn't care. He had such a burden for his child. He went publicly. Everybody's there, begging God, please touch my daughter. Touch my daughter. You know what he was doing. He wouldn't put on a facade like, "Oh my, there ain't nothing really wrong with my daughter. She's all right." You know, we want everybody to think our children are perfect. That's an impossibility because their parents are not. See, folks, I can't expect my children to be perfect when they had a flawed daddy. Hello. Now, again, I say this, you can agree or disagree. When your child gets 15 years old, they're going to have a mind. You can enforce the rule, but you're not change the heart. The Lord has to do that, and that's why you better take them to God. It takes prayer. Number two, very simply, it takes patience to raise up a child. Not only does it take prayer to raise up a child, but it takes patience to raise up a child. Folks, the verses we didn't read, verses 43 through 48 or 9, he came to Christ, and he's getting the Lord, and he's trying to take him to his daughter, and all of a sudden, here comes the one with the issue of blood, touched his God. All this stuff, all these delays, the crowd, the Lord pauses. But I like, Jairus didn't say, just forget it. The Lord, you ain't going to help her. I'll give her to the world. They said, no, he had patience. Folks, have patience when you're raising up a child. They're not going to do exactly how you think every time. Just have patience. Don't give up on them. Don't throw them away. Amen. I cannot imagine. I have three children. They're here. I can't imagine what they would have to do to make me give up on them. Some of you have children that are away from God, and I commend you for not throwing them in the trash. I commend you for still loving them. Still tell them about Jesus, and still, even though they don't live in your home and they're doing their own thing and it breaks your heart, you hadn't thrown in the towel. Don't ever throw in the towel with your children. Amen. Because if you don't pray for them, if you don't hang in there with them, ain't nobody gonna do it. There were delays. Verse 49, there was a report of death. I mean, here comes, while yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. You know what somebody told him? Here comes somebody and said, it's too late. Quit worrying about it. Your child's too far gone. Your child's too far gone. I went to school with a boy. He's with the Lord now. My friend Donald, he got saved here. He came to church here. Then he got pancreatic cancer, and the Lord called him home. And we had a teacher. And this, we were in the eighth grade. And we had a teacher. Donald, he lived in a single-parent home. His mama worked herself to death. She had three boys. Roger had to be 6'8". Paul about 6'6", and Donald about 6'3", by herself. She's working. And Donald had quick wit. I never wanted to stand up and applaud a guy in school, but I was scared I'd get in trouble and I'd get a whooping. But he done something silly in class, and this teacher stopped in front of every one of us, and she commenced to telling him how sorry he was and how that he would never, ever amount to anything. And she went on a ramp about 10 minutes, it seemed like. Donald sat there, and his response was, it runs in the family, Mama. What happened? He gets sent to the principal's office. And I'm thinking, hey, lady, you asked for it. But his life was plagued with little self-worth. And he went to Iraq, and they come back, and all that stuff he went through. And his last days, he was a man of sorrows. School and teachers and people gave up on him. But his little old mama has buried all three of them boys. Roger drowned. Donald died of cancer. And the other overdosed. I don't know if it was on purpose or accident. I don't know. And I'm telling, I'm saying this publicly. I know we're online, but in the Spirit of God. But little old mama is down there in that nursing home. She didn't give up on him. She stuck by him. She loved on him. Through hard times of his life, through battles of his life, through tragedy after tragedy. I had a daddy that didn't want anything to do with him. I've never heard him mention him. Have patience. You want to raise them up? It takes prayer. It takes patience. Folks, there were reports of death. There were reasonable doubts. Trouble not the master. Don't even worry about it. Folks, can I say something to you? You're never troubling the master when you pray. Let me give you this final one I'm running through. It takes prayer to raise up a child. It takes patience to raise up a child. And it takes power to raise up a child. Verse 52 through 55. Jesus' touch made the difference. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called her, saying, "Maid, arise." Folks, I don't know how long when she got sick, I don't know the time span. I know the accounts in Mark and Matthew. I don't know the time span. But from the time she got sick to the time she actually died and everything in between. But there was one that didn't give up on her. There was one that kept seeking God on her behalf. There was one that no matter what the delay was, no matter what the sidetrack was, no matter what happened, he still stayed and he still, and all it took, after all that praying, after all that agonizing, after all that, all it took was Jesus to show up and say, "Let's go." One touch. One touch. Hey, I don't know how long it's been since your child started the wayward path or whatever. I don't know what's happened in between. You've been to God. You've agonized with God. You've done it publicly. You've done everything. And your mind and other people saying, "Hey, just let them go. Just let them go." But you ain't letting them go. Can I say just any day the Lord could show up in one touch and call them by name and lift them out of that. And that girl was different. No matter what he tried, no matter what they did, no matter what people said, no matter what program they went to, it took Jesus. And he's more than enough. Jesus touch. Lord, touch my child. They're still little now. Pray God touch them. Pray the Lord touch them. Pray God put a hedge around them. Hey, you say, my child's a baby or 2, 3, 4, 5-year-old. Go ahead and pray for their soul. Go ahead and pray for their spouse. Yeah, right. Amen. Yes, that's right. Go ahead and be praying for all these things. You say, well, it only takes the Lord a second. Yeah, it only takes the devil a second. It takes power to raise up a child. Jesus' touch made the difference. And Jesus' talk or Jesus' word made a difference. Everybody been talking to her. Everybody trying to encourage her. Everybody's trying to be there. And that's a wonderful thing. But when Jesus spoke to her, everybody putting all the efforts in, she wasn't moving. She wasn't responding. Nothing happening. But her daddy went to Jesus. Her daddy went to Jesus. And his touch and his word made all the difference. Folks, the only hope our children has is Jesus. The only hope our children has is Christ. It's the only hope they have. And get this, that's the only hope they need. He's more than enough. How to raise up a child. Let's all stand. Courtney's coming. Thank you for your patience this morning. Heads are bowed and eyes are